Show prep insert here. Not really. Hello, everybody. It's Madge Weinstein. I have a clitoris. Actually, I have two nowadays. And, well, really three, because Andy Vera Charles is my guest for the entire program today.
Speaking of clits.
Yes, we had a little bit of a malfunction in Eat This Hot Show, so we're not recording. And I thought, well, since we're not recording the show, let's just have Vera on my show, because normally she's imbibing in the evening.
That's
when
right.
I record. Is that the right word, honey? It's...
Well, sucking it down. I prefer sucking it down.
Sucking it down. Get her done. And Vera is, I'm sure nobody knows this because it's been such a tight-kept secret, but she's going on a cruise next. Oh, my God. I have the funniest story to fucking tell you. I can't believe I didn't tell you.
Okay, well, tell me.
So you did this show where you talked about, I don't remember, you did your cruise music, and then you talked about how you're going on the cruise. But you said, you know, I got to pee, and I know this. I really have to pee. So, and this, and I would hold it in and keep talking, but I know a urologist, and he said, you got to just pee. Remember that?
Right. Yes, I do.
And I think that's when you ended the show. I'm not sure. Well, I was walking past, I was on my way to the psychiatrist, which is an hour and a half trek, including all kinds of, you know, three different transfers. It's a pain in the ass, which is another matter. And so I was walking down the street, the last leg where I walk from the train station all the way to the hospital, which takes a while. And I go past this campus of like three churches, Immaculate Conception, the School of the Holy Pedophile, you know, all these fucking Catholic churches. And I had a piss like a goddamn racehorse. And I'm listening to your show, right, at the same time. And just and I'm like, I'm going to go into this church and piss. Surely, you know, give me your tired, angry, poor, and people that have to piss, right?
Right, exactly.
So all the doors were closed to this church. You know, I thought, aren't churches just open? In the movies, people just go there and pray, you know, when
right.
Damien attacks and Satan takes over their children and whatever. You know, that's what people use churches for. None of the doors were open at this church with this giant fountain and this big fat virgin in the front.
Was it a Catholic church?
Oh, it was Catholic, yeah.
Well, of course, you see, they can't because there's all kinds, you know, Catholics are filthy fucking rich and they have all this rich shit inside their churches, so they can't get their golden chalices stolen.
Well,
some junkie comes wandering in and grabs a hold of the chalice so he can get his fix.
Well, they may not be able to get their golden chalices stolen, but I'll tell you what, they got a golden shower from me because I pissed on the church.
You winkied on the church?
I pissed. Well, it wasn't on the church itself, but it was on the church property. I did, and there were cars in the parking lot, and I did not give a fuck. And you were talking, oh, I got to piss. You shouldn't let your piss go. And I'm like, I can't believe I have to piss so fucking bad. Like, I've never had to piss in my life. And Vera's on the phone talking about how she's got to piss, or on the podcast. I said, I'm going to piss on the... And I just looked at it as sort of an atheist form of divine intervention. I'm like, well, I'm at a church. I'm just going to piss on the church in Vera's honor.
I believe spiritually pissing on religion is a very good thing.
Absolutely.
However, it's, you know, you're such a Jew. That's such a Jew thing to do. Why didn't you piss on a synagogue, you Jew?
I wasn't walking past a synagogue. But I was inspired by you because you were so mad at the Knights of Columbus and they're Catholic. I thought, well,
those
Vera would
fuckers.
Like this.
Well, I hate fucking religion with everything in me. You know that already.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the fact that the Mormons and the Knights of Columbus got their little titties together and did this is just beyond me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it adds to my hatred. It fuels the fire.
It's so stupid. And it's the self-righteousness. You know, I did this Tammy Faye Baker séance.
Yes. How did that go?
It went very well. I have a video that I have to post, but it's you can't really hear anything. You just see me running around because, of course, I forgot my lines. So they do the séance. Nancy Reagan, you know, performs the séance. And then, you know, while they turn off the lights during the séance, Tammy, being me, magically appears in a throne and crying. So I decided, I don't know what to say. These lines are stupid. The script is dumb and it doesn't really have any point anyway. They just want to raise money for this organization. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to cry. I had my full bottle of saline solution. Right before the lights came on, I just squirted it all over my face. And I just started screaming bloody murder and crying. And talking about how beautiful heaven is.
And then, it worked.
Yeah. And then there was my friend, Helena Handbasket, was also in the show because she was part of the séance. She pretended to be Jan Crouch. Do you know who that is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Fucking ugly-ass motherfucker. Well, Helena, her facial expression, you'll see this on the video eventually, her face looks exactly like Janet. And she had the two wigs, the pink. She put some pink rouge in her hair, and she looked exactly like Janet. So I'm running around crazy collecting money as Tammy Faye, crying and, you know, with my tears, and I see Jan and I go, "What's that bitch doing here?" And I squirt my saline solution on her face. Now, this is a drag queen that spent about 2 hours getting her face ready.
Oh man, you are just in the piss off people.
I squirted it and she just sat there like, "Am I gonna be pissed? What am I gonna do here?" And I just looked at her. She takes her Coke and she throws it right on my dress.
Oh.
And from that point on, it became a Benny Hill chase scene. And we just chased each other around the church. It was insane and sacrilegious and horrible. And I was like, "We have to raise money for Crystal Meth Anonymous. I guess they need to be able to buy heroin since they can't use meth anymore. I don't know."
My God.
I was very inappropriate, but it was fun.
What else is new?
Well, I'm going to the doctor about my hemorrhoid tonight. It did. It's shrunk a little.
Well, have you? Nah, I know this is a stupid question, but have you tried the common over-the-counter remedies and stuff?
I think it really doesn't work. I don't think it helps at all. I mean, the thing is, it's not really painful. It's just like annoying, and the fact that it's been there for 2 weeks makes me concerned. I don't think things should be there for 2 weeks. So I'm just going to the doctor look at it, and maybe he'll be able to, as the kids say, push it back in.
Push it back. Way back.
Yes, the hemorrhoid dance. Push it back in.
Uh-huh. Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. How's Clank?
He okay.
He still coming to your building and shit?
Yes, he is. I don't really look at him because there's nothing in the mail that I want anymore.
Just bills.
I just collect it every 3 or 4 days, you know, unless I'm expecting something, which I'm not. And I say,
How's the search for employment going?
Well,
is that a sore subject?
It's going very well. I apply for lots of jobs as I am instructed to in order to collect my unemployment, because you know that's required.
I know.
So
have you sought employment this week?
Yes.
Have you actively sought employment this week?
Yeah. I have. Right. I did. And I didn't get it, the job.
Now, I remember a long time ago.
Yeah.
You talked about working for a girl band.
Jesus. That's right. That was before podcasting.
Uh-huh.
Right. What about it? I was a manager.
You were a manager of a girl band.
Yeah.
Now, see, I don't know how to ask this question, so I guess I just won't. I mean, what?
Can I work there again?
Huh?
Can I get my job back as a band manager?
Can you maybe be a band manager again? Try that. Do some of that. Because that's, you know, you could.
No, and I'll tell you why. Because all I did was eat Luna bars. Because the Luna people, they love to sponsor these little lesbian, bars.
Yes.
The bands.
Bands.
Mm-hmm. So I just got, they just stuffed me with Luna bars all the time. So I don't want to gain all that weight. Huh?
You picked up weight.
Right, and it was so dysfunctional. I mean, it's like you got to just do such disgusting things in order to get what you need done, and then these girls, they don't behave, they get pregnant, they do drugs, you know, you have to kick them out, and then one is a lover with the other, and then she leaves, and then one of them, this one time, he even sabotaged the other one. Like, they were lovers, and they had this weird codependent relationship, and the one of them that was the star was sort of the passive one in the relationship. Well, the one who was more aggressive in the relationship was not the star, she was sort of a background singer. So in order to, this is very sort of, you know, made for TV movie kind of stuff, but it really happened. But she made her girlfriend, who was a star, completely flub her lines on purpose and fall out during a show just so that she could get the lead role instead.
That's not very loving and supportive.
No, it's very coda. And, you know, and I just was like, I don't need this anymore. So
I understand. You've done a lot, though. That's a wonderful thing. You've had a lot of experience in a lot of different places.
Right. Well, the experience that I've had mostly that would earn decent money is in the healthcare fields. And I'm not at the point where I'm ready to go back to that field yet, if there is a yet. Yet.
Yet.
I don't want so to, I have, you know.
I understand.
Yeah.
I really understand.
Yeah.
I have a favor to ask.
What's that?
My 200th episode is a week from today,
right.
A week from Wednesday, and I'm doing what I did for my 100th, which is playing greetings. Would you send me a greeting for my 200th episode?
Did I do one for your 100th show? I think I did.
Yes, you did. Absolutely.
Do I leave it on the voicemail? Is that how it works?
Well, you can either send me an MP3 or... I have a listener line if you want to call that. Whatever's easier for you.
I'll just do the MP3, but I got to put it on my calendar. When are you going to record it?
Well, I'm going to put it together, try to put it together tomorrow.
Okay, so it's got to be today.
I mean, if you could, that would be great. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big old, just say, you know, Vera, you suck and you've sucked for 200 shows and, you know, just
what
in your own
start.
Yeah. Because I did, you know, I'm doing the big anniversary show that I'm trying to put together before I go away on this Bacacta cruise.
Okay.
That is in a week. 1 week. I'm leaving in a week.
Next Wednesday. Where's the port? Los Angeles?
San Pedro, which is a port. They basically call it the Port of Los Angeles, but it's in San Pedro, which is a
Madonna song.
Like Donna Summer?
No, a Madonna song, isn't it?
Oh, last night I said something. I can't stand Madonna. I hate Madonna.
Why don't people like her ever get shot? Oh, God.
Well, you know what? Why don't people like her ever get these horrible diseases that, I mean, not that I'm wishing diseases upon anyone,
never.
Because I'm not, but these sweet, kind, gentle, wonderful people end up getting this shit. And these, like, we have a wonderful neighborhood. Except for one asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, everybody's got a problem except this asshole who lives next door. And it's like the assholes go on forever without disease, without plague, without problem. They just, it's like they rise to the top. And I will never understand this, the justice there is of which there ain't
none. There is only one exception to that rule, which is Lee Atwater. Did you see the documentary about him?
No, and forgive me for my ignorance, but I don't know who he is.
He was the Karl Rove of Ronald Reagan. He's the one that Karl Rove learned all his dirty tricks from. And he did all the bullshit, you know? He started the whole lowdown politics thing, and he created all these scandals in order to make his candidates win and, you know, fake things and said Kitty Dukakis, you know, went to a, you know, anti-war rally and her husband is mentally ill and made Ronald Reagan comment all this shit. But then at the end, he was like less than 40 and he got a brain tumor.
Oh.
And before he died, he repented and he wrote letters to everybody saying he was really sorry for what he did and how wrong it was.
Well, that's quite amazing.
Yeah. Didn't stop Karl Rove from using his tactics though.
Oh, the ugliness that began, as I've said a lot of times, I think that the true decline of our country began with Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
And he's deified to this day. He is deified by people. And it just amazes me when you look at the beginnings of the true destruction of this country were...
I agree.
All wrapped around him.
And the funny thing is, you know, you were older than me, but no, you weren't. I forgot. Never mind. In a parallel universe, I was only in sixth grade in my mind because I took LSD that year. So
yes.
when Ronald Reagan got elected, in my mind's eye, I was only in sixth grade. But at the same time, I knew the impact of it. I'm sure you did too. The devastating impact of what this meant. It was
I voted
first of many, many,
like
many. Yeah.
Like I told you before, that was the last time that I voted, and I voted against Ronald Reagan, and it was the last time that I voted. And I just knew that he was in my gut, that he was wrong. I didn't know the depth to which he was going to sink this country. I had no, you know, I was a naive kid. I think I don't remember it. What year was it?
80.
Okay, 1980. I was I was born in 56, so I was 24. Is that how old I was?
I don't do math.
I don't do math either. Okay. So, in 1980, I think I was 24. Yeah, I was 24. So, you know, I was 24 years old. So I was a baby myself. But I began to watch things that, you know, you even if you're not savvy with politics, your gut's like telling you, no, this isn't right. This is going
the whole religious thing. It was the whole.
Oh my God,
that's what it was. It was his religious and his God, and he scared the hell out of me because he was just this. He represented just the bringing together of church and state. That's what he represented, and that's what he did. And he took all these idiot Christians, and he said, "We're going to make God. We're going to put God in the White House."
Yep. That's what happened. And he embraced the religious right, and then they became more and more and more powerful, and they are today.
And remember the moral majority?
Oh, absolutely.
And that was a huge part of him. That was a huge part of his campaign, was the moral majority. And what a scary thing. I thought that was really scary.
Absolutely.
You know, and then Tammy Faye, and, you know, I did it because I was asked to, but like people like Tammy and Faye and Jim Baker were a part of that. I mean, they were some of the first, they were really the first successful televangelists, and then everybody stole their shit and stole their shows. But Tammy Faye gets sort of deified because, I don't know if that's the right word, but sort of like Ronnie, because she had somebody with AIDS on her show once, and then she became campy once she lost her career and she had nothing else. She began to like gay people, and she's genuinely seems like she was a nice person, but like people forget what these people really did. It's
absolutely
not, you know, it's like actions speak louder than words. You know, this is not just some cute little campy thing. This is somebody who contributed to the downfall of this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what's very difficult about religion and religious people is that they're not all evil. That's what the problem is. If something was all evil, it would be easy to stand against it and point it out. These religious people have incredibly open hearts, but only in certain areas and only in certain, you know, narrow thought processes and narrow-minded ways. But they're very open and loving in those ways and supportive people. But in other ways, they're just destructive as all hell. And the thing about Tammy Faye, and I used to watch the PTL because I was very intent on watching what the enemies were doing, and plus the show was incredibly entertaining because they were just so bad. And I watched it obsessively, and I watched Jan and Paul Crouch obsessively. I mean, I watched these people constantly.
Are they're still on TV, aren't they?
Well, yes, they are. That's the TV. BN, which is Trinity Broadcasting Network, and they Paul Crouch is still the president, and I think the Jan is vice president, but Jan's kind of disappeared from being broadcast, and I don't know if it's just because she's gotten old or she might be ill. I don't know why she's not on the tube anymore, but she had, you know, the vanity of these people is unbelievable, the women. But Tammy Faye, what she did was is that she became very, very active in the AIDS community and visiting hospices and taking care of.
Oh, so it was more than just symbolism.
Oh, absolutely. She was very, very active in it. But once again, at the core, and, you know, I can relate to this completely because of my sister. My eldest sister is an evangelical Christian. However, has come around tremendously in not proselytizing and just really being very loving. That's her thing, is being very loving. And so she's a very loving person, but there's always the bottom line for me, you know, and that's where I come
love.
Isn't What's
it,
that?
Isn't it conditional love?
It's supposed to be unconditional love, and it's supposed to be hate the sin, but love the sinner.
That's not love.
No, it isn't. And that's what you, but you can never tell those people
well,
that
it's this
because
patronizing it, kind of thing where they're like, we love you.
Yeah, you exactly. Know? We hate like your they, sin. We love you.
Yeah. Or, and the meaner, the like the wrong, the more wrong something does to them, they love them more, but they really don't. Like, I love homosexuals. How could you say that? I love you. God loves you. That's why I want you to get saved from the devil.
Exactly, to stop your evil ways and to find a nice woman. And, you know, basically in my sister's heart of hearts, she doesn't verbalize that anymore because I would kick her till she was dead, and she knows full well that. But she, in her heart of hearts, what she wants for me is to find a woman to be happily married, to have children, and to be the way God wants me to be in her eyes. That's the core. And so that will keep me from ever being incredibly close and loving with my sister, because I know that exists. And that's kind of what you were talking about with Tammy Faye.
Yeah.
She did wonderful things. She did good things. She was a sweet person. This was a sweet, daffy broad. You'd love to have a party with her because she's a whack attack on the hoof. Mm-hmm. But once again, you got to look at a person's core. And I can't be in a relationship with anybody who doesn't value exactly who I am in every single way. I mean, you don't have to love me. And I've said this before, but you do have to respect me, and you do have to consider me exactly equal to you.
Well, that's the part where they don't. That's the part where we have an impasse. Now, a lot of people will respect us. Certainly not all. A lot of people don't. There's a lot of people that still... We were talking about this the other day. I mean, people, there's still fag bashing in my neighborhood. Not in my neighborhood, but in the gay neighborhood. I don't live exactly in it. There's still people that yell faggot out of cars.
Yeah.
You know, and my one friend was arguing, well, yeah, but all you have to do, you know, things have gotten so much better because the alderman is gay. So, you know, when the police start harassing the victims of hate crimes, which they do here in Chicago, all you have to do is call the alderman and he'll tell them to get the hell away. And this one queen was telling me how he, you know, who owns a restaurant, right? He's gay. He owns a restaurant in the gay neighborhood. He keeps on his cell phone the number of two gay cops. So when there's a problem, he always calls his gay cops. It's like there's a separate police force for gay people.
That's wild.
And my thing is, look, you know, if we really wanted progress, maybe the alderman would be proactive and make sure this stuff never happens in the first place.
So. Once again, when you consider that there's still bigotry towards black people in the South, and there's still black people getting beaten up for being black, I don't think it'll ever stop. I don't think that this will ever be a world where the different ones are not persecuted in one way or another. I just think that's the way people feel powerful. The way you feel powerful is by making someone less powerful than you. That's the way the classic bully works, and that's the way the world works.
Yeah, that's a sad way. But I don't think everybody works that way. But certain people that I've had huge problems with personally, especially in dealing with podcasting, they behave that way. Where they think bringing, you know, Margaret Mead or somebody had this wonderful quote about it, which I can't relate, but it's like, if you think the way to bring yourself up is by bringing other people down, you know, you're sadly mistaken.
Right. But that's sadly the way the world works.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I don't see, I think that that's basic human nature, and I don't think that that's ever going to change. I think we can't, we're not going to evolve away from that. You know, we have found... Mankind has found success patterns that have allowed them to continue. And a lot of those success patterns are incredibly destructive ones. They're not positive at all. They're extraordinarily negative, but they're successful. They get results. And I think that it's kind of in the genetic makeup of mankind. If you go back to the caveman days when we were grunting, it was the person with the biggest club. It was the person with the strongest arm. It was the person who was the fastest. All the basic things that allowed you to succeed.
Yeah.
We've only come out of the cave in that we dress different, and instead of physically hitting people, we hit people in all kinds of other ways. We hit them monetarily. We hit them spiritually. We hit them emotionally. But we're still beating someone else down in order to raise ourselves up. And that's a sad state of affairs, because the real way that you raise yourself up is that you raise other people up first. And in doing so, you're raising yourself up by doing that.
Right. Well, on the bright side,
yes, darling.
It looks like Stephen's lost in Alaska.
Really?
That's what it said in the New York Times. He hasn't conceded yet, but it was sort of vague, but yeah. But the headline basically said, I think it was something to the effect of, Stephen's pretty much lost, but not exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, several hundred thousand votes, I believe. Huh?
Has there been a result with Franken?
I don't believe Franken? So. Not as of the newspaper this morning that I was reading in the... too bad we can't ask Wanda. But what's the name of the Minneapolis paper? Do you know?
The Titty Freeze? I have no idea.
I'll Google it. So, yeah, so it looks like he's lost, but we still don't have the 60-member supermajority for it to be filibuster-proof. But it's still pretty amazing that Democrats have all these, you know, have all three houses, or the two houses plus the...
Let's hope that they now do something with that.
Okay, let's see. Oh, they're still working on it. Judge orders Ramsey County to release absentee ballot data. He ruled that the information on rejected ballots is public data. Oh, yeah, it's getting nasty. Sounds like.
Of course.
They're still counting. Okay, here's the current totals. Jesus. Senator Norm Coleman, 1,211,584. Oh my God. Franken is 1,211,370. Coleman is up by 214 votes.
That's astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say hi to Gooch?
Sure.
Say hi. Well, I'm doing Madge's show because we're not doing Eat This Hot Show today, so just say hi. Hi to Madge.
Hi. Are you getting ready to steal Christmas again?
Hey, wait, hang on. Here, stick that in your ear.
Talk. I can't even hear.
It's okay. No.
Are you there, Madge?
Yeah, I said, hi, Grinch. Are you ready to steal Christmas again?
I am. You know, I've got my big bag ready, and I'm not talking about Vera.
Good.
Good. You just said... Are you hearing this? Vera can't hear, so we could say all kinds of bad stuff about Vera, but I won't, because I'm kind.
Because you're kind, and you're going on a cruise. Yay.
That's it. 1 week from today, that's all I care about. Get me on that ship, get me my pina colada, and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much my direction for Vera.
Yeah. That's Vera's instructions, too? Give her a pina colada and shut the hell up.
No, hers is more in the direction of a martini or a gimlet.
Okay. So you're like the sweet drinks.
That's it, baby. It's all about the sweet drinks.
You like sickeningly sweet things.
Yeah, just like my Vera.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know that's a criticism of yours,
Madge. That's what I was getting at. She'll hear it eventually when I post it, only if I don't edit it out.
I know. So what's the difference? Let's say it now. Why be coy?
I just did.
Hey, Madge, I was looking at the Time article today. Yeah. I'm a little past the time. I'm a little behind the times. It was the 2 week ago Time magazine where it had the spread with the Grant Park photo.
I didn't see.
Oh, I was looking for you, and I found a lavender scarf being waved amongst the millions.
That was me. That
was you. I figured it was. Yeah. I knew it was.
Yeah, it would have been me. Did it have like sort of African women... stenciled on it, or could you not see that close?
Well, it had something on it, but I think it looked more like it might have been barf or a poo stain. I'm not sure.
No, that was these. I have this dress. I wear it like constantly. It's purple. It has a matching sort of wavy scarf. It's about 12 feet long because I'm huge, and it has not stenciled silk screen on it. African women with those buckets on their heads. It's very very pro-woman. That's the scarf you saw waving in the crowd.
I believe. You know what? I'm going to go with it was, because it was a lovely tinge of lavender.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Madge, I'm going to go, because I get to go back to work doing the lovely work.
Well, that's good. At least you got work.
You know what? That's hallelujah. Praise everybody for that one.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, darling. It was great talking to you. Thank you for
Have a good time on the trick.
What's that?
Have a good time on the trick.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, honey, I'm back.
Hi. So you're vodka gimlets, huh?
Yeah, I love vodka gimlets.
I don't even know what that is. What's a gimlet?
A vodka gimlet is basically vodka and then either Rose's lime juice or another kind of lime juice and a sweetener of some kind. It's a sweet.
But does it have anything like to soften it? Like some club soda?
What it is it's shaken in a shaker, and so the ice breaking up and it softens it that way. Yeah.
Because it sounds like it just destroy your stomach lining, but what do I know?
Well, what a way to go, though.
What, wet brain? Yeah. I was never a big drinker, which is so ironic, but I really wasn't. I think in the last year before I quit doing drugs and alcohol, I probably drank once.
Well, the concept is it not that if you start with alcohol, it loosens the inhibitions to the point where you really go back to your bad vice or your bad, the dangerous one? Isn't that the concept?
Yeah, and the fact that alcohol is a drug. And for me, drugs are a problem. So, yeah, it's just one of many.
Yes.
I mean, I still take drugs, but only what the physician prescribes, so.
So,
I have a couple of things to tell you that I can't talk about on the show. So what else did we want to talk about before that happens?
Once again, my life is in, I know that this show will never be as exciting as your ones with Cheryl. God love her. I wish she would send me a 200th episode greeting. Do you think that Cheryl Murkowski would ever?
Yeah.
Dream of doing that?
I'm sure she would. You gotta ask her to.
That would be pretty cool.
Send her an email at cheryl@whorehole.org. I'm sure she'd love to, but it'll be mean.
Well, that's all right. I don't mind mean. Mm. I've fought bigger monsters than Cheryl Murkowski in my life.
Yeah? Like who?
Yeah. Oh, I could give you a list, my love.
I'd be interested in learning about monsters that are bigger than Cheryl. Because she's pretty monstrous.
At the very bottom of Cheryl Murkowski, right underneath her prolapse, there isn't an evil spirit. There's just a nasty. Actually, what she is she's a petulant little child who's constantly getting in trouble. She's a petulant little child in a big person's body.
Well, she's very ugly. See, now you're the one that brought up Cheryl.
I know, and that's why I'm not saying anything about it, because I brought up Cheryl, and you notice I'm not calling her the dried fig.
Right.
Uh-huh.
DF.
But anyway, you asked me what we were going to talk about, which led me to Cheryl, because and this program not being nearly as exciting as the ones that she's on.
Oh, but you know what? I just posted a show this morning with a very special guest with Berbacia Clemens, who hasn't been on this show in over a year. And we read about we gave some nice tips on how to break up with a bad relationship in the style of Sherry Shepherd and Meets Maya Angelou.
I was always broken up with. I never broke up.
Yeah.
I was never the instigator. I did once, and then I got back together with them.
I never broke up with anybody. I just blew people off.
In what way?
But I like not calling. Avoidance.
But see now, okay, now, oh God, I know that story. But that was young relationships, so that wasn't
right. That's true.
Yeah. See, once you're first of all a certain amount of time and a certain age, there has to be some words that this isn't working or this. That's like when my 8-year relationship before Gooch, it just declined and decayed and just was,
yeah.
I mean, and we were walking through it, and we both sat on the couch one day and looked at each other and said, "This is just not working, is it?" And he went, "No, it's not." But it was still horrible. Go ahead, you're inhaling. You're gonna ask me something.
I do that. My attitude has changed so much, and I haven't really talked about it, but there's somebody who I've went on a couple of dates with recently. And my attitude, it's like, It used to be like I would try and sound accommodating, like almost pitch myself, like say, well, I'm this, that, and the other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't misrepresent one thing. And the sticking point we've had so far is about pets, because she says pets shouldn't sleep in beds. Actually, that's not up for discussion. The dog sleeps in the bed.
Period. As a matter of fact, you are sharing the dog's bed. The dog isn't sharing yours.
Exactly. But, you know, I didn't need to get that specific. But that's, you know, that's how it is. You got to know it. You know your points. You know what can't change.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't change, you know. And it's like, it's really healthy, I think, to be able to have that mode instead of that desperate. Well, one thing I learned when I was living in Amsterdam and I was trying these relationships is don't ever be desperate. It is the worst characteristic known to man. It will turn off even the person that loves you more than anyone. Desperation is the biggest turnoff there is.
Unfortunately, the people that are desperate don't recognize their desperation. They don't see it as being desperate.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part to tell. You know, it's like trying to tell someone don't act a certain way when they don't even see that they are acting that way.
Well, usually what I say when I see that is don't be desperate.
But you understand that's a concept that's lost on them.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had that much opportunity to deal with it, fortunately. But we'll see. It's nice. But and we haven't, you know, spent the evening together anyway. So it's not really.
Where did you meet this lovely lady?
At the coffee shop. And the most wonderful thing is she doesn't have internet. She's not an internet person.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we get along, but it's like she's very much like Gussie in a lot of ways and kind of argumentative and stuff like that. So who knows? But it's, you know, it's nice to at least have somebody to go to lunch with once in a while, you know, and fight with.
And this is you've had two official dates?
No, a few times, more than that.
Oh.
Two, three, maybe four. I don't know. We went to Trader Joe's yesterday. That was if you call that a date.
Well, actually, those are the most significant dates.
Yeah.
The reality, the world of reality, are the most significant. You know, when you're going to the movies or out to dinner and it's special and everybody's dressed nice and on their best behavior, that's bullshit. It's when you go to the grocery store, you pick up the car, or you go bring your laundry in, or you go sit in the park. That's the real stuff.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The conversation on the way home sort of is in line with that.
Yeah. So do we have a potential partner, do you think?
Well,
rather not say?
I'd rather not try and guess. Only because things like this can come back to haunt you in unknown ways.
Oh, that's true. And you got so many goddamn enemies.
Yeah.
As soon as
you mentioned that what my YouTube name is, and I don't want to mention it again, like somebody went on and gave every one of my things like one star. That's how people are.
It's that Eat This Hot Show audience.
It's like that's where the enemies sit in and take notes. The enemies.
I'm sorry I did that.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, I do, but I don't. It's nothing. It's not your fault that, you know, people are that petty. It's certainly not your fault for doing that. But whatever. YouTube is kind of pointless anyway for me because I get all my hits on Insane Films, not on YouTube. And you can turn off the rating system, I think, on there. Fuck. I thought I lost her. All right, let's finish so that I can tell you this thing.
All right, let's finish, my darling.
All right, the end. Thank you for being on the show, Vera. VeraSpeaks.com. Sorry, it was kind of low energy, but whatever.
I think it was. I think this was an interesting show for us to just chat.
Yeah, it's nice, and I'm glad we could do it because like I said before, you're too busy being an alky at night. You can't be bothered.
That's right.
And have a good time on the cruise, but hang on because I want to talk to you about some stuff.
I'm hanging, my darling. Bye, a gentle audience.
Yeah, girdle.